the system. What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another great edition of Elite Wrestling Audio, the only podcast that provides you with two boricuas from the Bronx, giving you elite information in the world of professional wrestling. This is your NXT TakeOver Vengeance Day post-show recap. It's your boy Val Cisco, and always with me, the Rick Martel to my Tito Santana, Mr. Jay Rance. How you doing?
I am chilling, dude. What's good with you? How's everybody doing?
We're doing fantastic, man. Locking in that Boston Crab, being a model, and getting ready for some NXT, brother. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm chilling. Exciting time for wrestling. Still kind of riding the high. Well, I wouldn't really say high. It was 50-50 vengeance, but I'm good, though. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. You know, I agree with you. It's a great time to be a fan of professional wrestling. So much things happening every single day almost when it comes to either news or who's going where, what's happening now, what's happening there, and just the brilliance of everything outside the WWE. I know this is a takeover type podcast right here, but we got to give shout outs to all these federations and organizations really coming as one and helping each other out. At first, I was a little, you know, apprehensive at this whole working relationships with AEW and New Japan at first. But now, with the doors open from New Japan and so many different talent being moved around in a positive way, you know, things like Finn Juice going to, you know, Impact Wrestling, things like, you know, United States Championship with Moxley and Kenta. Kenta going to AEW for a little bit. I mean, there's so much variety out there, and the fact that they're all working together, it's just pretty damn awesome, man. How do you feel about that?
I was all for it because, you know, we a while back we touched this on the podcast where, like, some of these lower federations, and they should just kind of like team up and bring back that territory feel. And we said it on the podcast a little while back. So I was all for it. I was excited. Bro, it's just giving talent opportunities elsewhere where maybe they won't get a shot in their organization. So they're opening the door for talents to just travel and, you know, have some fun and evolve. So I'm all for it, because then now we get all these dream matches that we always thought about, these possibilities, these matchups. They're no longer fake. They can actually be a possibility and go down. So I'm all for it, as long as you keep the integrity and the respect of your company. You get what I'm saying? So, but I'm down. I'm all for it.
Yeah, same here, same here. And in some ways, I think this has boosted, I guess, some urgency in NXT, in my opinion. I think when we saw Vengeance, like you said, 50-50, I saw same old, but I did see some urgency as well, too. We'll get into that. So let's get right into it, man. Vengeance Day on Valentine's Day, February 14th, it did go down in Orlando, Florida. A lot of hype with this pay-per-view or event, however you want to call it, network event. Right off the back, let me just say this right here, because I feel like I'm going to forget a lot to talk about, but I want to just address it right here because I feel like it's going to get lost in the shuffle. Eli Drake, LA Knight, how you feel, brother?
I like the character. I don't like the name. I don't feel he should be in NXT. That's another thing. I feel like Eli Drake has kind of paid his dues to just come over in NXT and then just like start from the bottom. It just shows the urgency, like you said, because this is not the only signing that they have done. They've done a few signings. So I'm happy, but I'm just not happy because he has to start all the way up. How do you feel?
Yeah, I agree with your sentiments right there. I think the name's kind of shitty. But he's making it work. And this is a guy that makes anything work. So I'm pretty confident that he'll go in there and give it 110%. So 110%.
Oh, yeah. 110%. He already did with that Flair-esque promo on Vengeance. So he's already making it. It's going to work. Because like you said, this is a guy that turns chicken salad out of chicken-ish, you know? So it's going to work. But I just don't like the name because I mean, for me, we're in an age where, like, okay, some names are, let's get some better names. I don't know. LA Knight, I think about, what are those sneakers? LA Knights, right? Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I think I'm about to pump up my kicks.
Yeah. Ooh, Marty McFly style. We'll get into that a little later, too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unconfirmed, but confirmed, another signing as well, too, Taya Valkyrie, you know, supposedly starting up at NXT. And I think, once again, a little bit of urgency to bring eyes on the product again. And another person who doesn't deserve to be in the NXT roster. She should be shot up to Raw or SmackDown, in my opinion. And you know what's funny? I've heard a lot of negative response for this. Like, oh, she doesn't belong there. Why is she here? Why is this girl on my TV? Why do I need to see her? And I want to get your thoughts on Taya, because throughout her career, I've always seen that she's been pretty hot or cold with the fan base. Do you have a reason why that is?
The only thing that I could think off the rip is because she's not your prototypical diva. That's all I can really think about off the rip, because this woman, you cannot test her credentials. She's traveled everywhere. Mexico, coming from Canada. Her story is so inspirational. Coming over from Canada basically with just a dollar in her fucking pocket. You know, she had to make it work. So she's been champion wherever she's gone. So my thing is, maybe she's just not a prototypical diva in the eyes of the fans, and she that's all I can really think of. I'm trying to pin the nail on the head, but I really can't. What do you think it is?
Yeah, I don't know either, man. Like, I don't know what the hate's for. I think you're right when she's not your prototypical diva. Like, she's not. Like, you know, she goes out there. She's very inventive, very creative with her style. Mm-hmm. You know, she doesn't subscribe to one little thing. And, yeah, like, you have to be a proud of a person that has a story like that. Very ingrained with Mexican culture. Mm-hmm. Like, she is... she was the face for women's wrestling in AAA for a long time. When you think about Triple A and the longest women's champion, she's right up there with the great best of them right now. You know, long time champion Impact Wrestling as well, to elevate that division.
Yeah.
And I only see positive things. The only thing I probably see on a negative side is that I think she's going to probably be coasting. And I mean, rock and roll, you don't take that many bumps anymore. You don't have to worry about that many things anymore. You got your hubby on the other side right there. So if this is like your crying achievement, where you felt like you paid your dues and now you just chill out and just do crazy ass promos on Raw or SmackDown and get paid $1 million, go for it, I guess. Mm-hmm. Right, but I hope they take her seriously, and I feel in NXT they will.
Could it be also that she's like, for not being the prototypical diva, because I get that swag from her, like, that she doesn't care what the fan has to say. She doesn't care what social media has to say. She knows where she's came from. She knows she paid her dues. She knows what she brings to the product, the brand, the ring, and her package is complete. So she couldn't give a F about what anybody says. Do you think that gets under the skins of the fans? Because we know fans love being very vocal and bringing people down on social media.
Yeah, I think mostly anybody who's not signed to the WWE has that mentality, at least from the female side. You know, you look at, as much as we give shit about Jordynne Grace, she has that mentality too. Like, I just don't give a fuck what anybody thinks. I'm gonna do whatever the fuck I want to do. You know, Ty is like that as well too. And there's a lot of girls out there, women out there, that strive on their individualism and try to be as creative as possible. And you go look at the other side of the ring, you know, or however you want a spectrum, if you will, you look at WWE's talent and they're very fan heavily based. Like, anything they do is to please a fan. When you look at, you know, a Scarlett Bordeaux, even her Instagram game is 10 times different than it was before she signed to NXT or WWE. You know, it's very fan friendly interaction. I get it. I totally get it. Your life is looked at through a microscope as soon as you're in the WWE, but I feel like there's less to defend yourself. It's like you have to be a company person. No matter who says what, you just kind of smile and wave and call it a day. The only person that I remember that really doesn't really take that shit that much, I gotta say Shayna Baszler. Her Twitter game's still pretty good. She'll say fuck off to anybody, no, even if it's like a 10-year-old. Like, fuck that kid.
Her Twitter game is untouchable. It's impeccable.
Yes, it is.
I remember when she just took the massive dookie on one fan. This is just a quick sidebar, but he was like, ew, Shayna Baszler, look at this ugly He-Man woman, whatever kind of thing. She goes, bro, I pull a hotter tail than you do on any day of the week. And damn it, she does. So
that is a great segue, because the hot tail that she did pull is our starter match.
Don't remind me.
Let's get into the thick of things right here. The finals for the Women's Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. We have on one side Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez taking on a team of Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart. Number one, I know you love both teams. I know you love some Shotzi. I know you love some Dakota. Were you kind of torn this match at all? Were you excited for this match? I know we have our criticisms for having this Dusty Women's Classic, yeah. But were you excited at all?
I was, because in a way it kind of gives the women a little bit of recognition that, I mean, they already have all the recognition in the world in NXT. I feel that their division is phenomenal, but this just gives them a little bit of more credibility, playing field, you know, kind of even to men, because the men have theirs on their own side. They also got the same stipulation. You win, you get a shot at the tag straps of your choosing. So, I mean, besides all that, how I felt about it, and we discussed on it the last podcast, I was excited, but from the jump, I mean, I kind of knew we were going to get this result, but it was cool. How did you feel overall about the cup and the participants, though?
I mean, the cup, I still feel like it wasn't needed. I think, yes, you want to throw equality there as much as possible, but I feel that there's a difference between being equal to the men and then doing something completely different to put yourself in a position where eyes are on you in a different way. I feel like these women should be going out there fighting for different stakes, not just for the same stakes as the men. I think when you're a different division, you have a lot to play with. Whether it's titles, whether it's different stakes, whether it's like the number one contendership, you know, there's a lot more variables that come in that division because, hey, they're women. There's so much you can do with them. There's so much that hasn't been done with them whatsoever. And just to put them in another tag team classic, just like the men, it just feels like it's like, hey, give them a bone. We're doing this for the men. We're going to do this for you guys too. I just don't like that. Like, I get it, but I don't like that. I'd rather see, like, the women have been succeeding on their own for the past 5 years in NXT. So they don't need to be as equal as the men in the same time match placements. If anything, hell, they should be main eventing more and more takeovers or events. And you know that's a subject for a different time though, but get it into the match, brother. Big time entrances, a huge entrance for Shotzi and Ember Moon. Good match. I won't say great. I'm gonna have my opinions on this. I felt like high pace, hard hitting, at times sloppy. Unfortunately, I feel maybe from all competitors, I feel like everybody had moments, but everybody had moments of being sloppy as well too. And maybe it's because they were pushing a harder pace to look as real as possible, and goddamn, they did. Like, there were spots with the table, there were spots with the outside, there were spots with dives, there were spots with just about everything. And I think what really soured me the most on this match wasn't so much of the botching. That wasn't really it. It was really the placement that they had Dakota Kai. Dakota Kai, I feel, deserves so much more than what she got in this match. And people are going to be like, oh, well, spoiler alert, they're the winners. You know, they got the trophy. No, like, I feel like Dakota Kai is on a league of her own. And this match was solely to get Raquel Gonzalez over, which is okay, but we've been doing that for about 3 months. So the project is there. They should be on equal ground. They should be on equal footing. We shouldn't have to be sacrificing Dakota Kai, making her a punching bag over Raquel Gonzalez. And one more thing, because I'm going on a tangent right here. I'll let you take the reins. I really feel that this match specifically had a hard time figuring out who was babyface and who was heel. I feel like they were playing on both ends, because I saw Shotzi and Ember Moon. They felt like tweeners almost in certain parts of the match, especially parts where they're singling out Dakota Kai to get that hot tag to Raquel. That's very much a heel move, and I get the strategy, but I just felt like, why are we doing this? We shouldn't be doing this whatsoever. There should be clear baby faces, clear heels, winner and loser, and those are the stakes right there. We shouldn't have in-betweeners. But that's all I got to say about that. Take the reins, brother.
No, I share your same sentiments as well, because the match, maybe the length as well. I think you added on that, but the length, I felt like it was very lengthy, the match. It could have been that they were pushing the pace, and that's why it was a little bit sloppy, because it was the opener match. I was like, oh, wow, we're really going to get this. I mean, it's a good match to open up. Of course, you got to grab the attention and the viewers, but I feel maybe they could have opened up with something else, but maybe that's why it was a little bit sloppy. And I have to agree with you 1,000%, because at times I'm watching, I'm like, okay, we know obviously that the heels are Dakota Kai and Raquel, but why am I getting that vibe from Shotzi Blackheart? Where a little, you know, Harley Quinn face paint look that she got going on. And why am I getting that with Ember Moon as well? Like you said, the moves that they were doing in the match. So, but that's one thing that really soured the match for me. Dakota Kai was just a punching bag. Literally, Raquel Gonzalez even threw her around to get moves done on the opponents. So she does deserve a lot better than what she got in that match. And it all was to put Raquel Gonzalez over, but I don't feel they needed to put her over that way at the cost of Dakota Kai looking like a punching bag. You could have done it multiple ways. Hell, she's already over. She pinned Io. So you didn't need to do that. If anything, you could have made freaking Dakota Kai look phenomenal as well and not look like, okay, we won the cup because of me. Unless maybe that's what they're trying to do to start some dissension. Maybe. We don't know, but I mean, the match was good. It was good, but Shotzi Blackheart. I mean, we know she has a wild style in the ring, but I felt like she was very sloppy that night. So I'm like, you had a phenomenal performance at the Rumble, and then here you go looking like this. Are you really ready? Where on the main roster, you have to put 24/7, put beautiful work in. So I'm happy with the result. How did you feel about the result, though? Like, did you think the right team went over?
I'm conflicted, brother, because I think you're right. I think this match exposed a lot of people throughout the course of it. I think Raquel Gonzalez gave me how I felt Rhea Ripley last year's WrestleMania, or even before that. Like, maybe she's just not ready yet. Mm-hmm. And I still stand by that. I don't think Raquel Gonzalez is ready yet. I think if she were to get called up early, it'd be a detriment to her. I think she still needs maybe a year in NXT by herself to find herself. Mm-hmm. And then we can see what goes on there. But the outcome, here's the thing. We love Dakota so much that we're happy when she gets an awesome win. Mm-hmm. But this is for a future tag team title shot. The tag teams are heels. Mm-hmm. So why do I want to see like Dakota and Raquel versus Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax? I mean, you have the QC thing from a Mark. Ooh, you know, Dakota and Shayna, you know, they're a couple. They get to fight each other. I guess that's cute, right? But or you get the powerhouse. Who's the powerhouse? Nia or Raquel?
Yeah.
I don't want that. Like, if anything, that serves better for Ember Moon and Shotzi. Hell, that could have been a WrestleMania build-up if you really wanted it to. Like, you have this fresh, ultra-hot babyface team that would make an epic WrestleMania fucking entrance. You can imagine her actually coming out in the tank. You can forget about Rusev. Straight up. You can have Ember Moon come out the fucking, like, the nozzle. Poof, she's out like a cannon.
Oh, bro, she could have came out like a Grayson.
Yeah, exactly. Deep cut right there. Love it.
No, I agree with you on this. It's kind of like, I mean, the right team went over to a certain extent. I mean, they had to go over. Because also, if you look at the tournament, you know, this is a tournament that's based on tag teams. And I've been tired in the past that makeshift tag teams have been winning it. So, I mean, you could say the legit actual team won it as opposed to Shotzi and Ember. But facts, you go up to the main roster, you're going to have two heels battling out. You could have had a way better buildup for WrestleMania with Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart. So I feel that, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel that if it was Katie Cannizzaro and Kay Jaden, I think they would have went over Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai. What do you think?
Maybe. You know, with those two, I still feel like there's something missing. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what it is. I just think that, you know, I think they're so stuck in their gimmicks. Ooh, I have, like, you know, the cosplay and the contacts and the long braids. And the other one, ooh, I'm a gymnast. I'm from, you know, what was the show she was from again?
Ninja Warriors, I think.
Ninja Warrior. That's her gimmick, that she was a Ninja Warrior. Mm-hmm. Great. Like, but you have not expanded on that. Not to say that, you know, Shotzi Blackheart or Ember Moon have to expand on their gimmicks, but they feel more complete as these two still feel a little green. Like, if you were to put them on Raw or SmackDown, it would be kind of awkward.
Mm-hmm. And you know what kind of sucks, man? It sucks because they're kind of going down the route to make them pose in provocative pictures just to get over. Mm-hmm. Instead of just actually developing these women, you have one of the most... Basically, you have her counterpart, Ricochet, and a woman.
Yeah, and straight up.
Kayden, you know, she's phenomenal. Bro, make them legit great talent, as opposed, because I went on their grams and I'm like, oh, this is what we're doing now. Katie Catanzaro and Lil Lingerie and stuff. I'm like, okay. But I think they probably would have gone over Raquel and Dakota. But, I mean, we got Raquel and Dakota, so I don't know, man. I mean, subpar match because of all the nonsense we mentioned, but was it a good opener?
Yeah, I think it was a good opener. I think it set the pace for the night. I don't think that their celebration was as great as the men's. I kind of felt a little bit weird about that. I felt like it was just like, here's your bone. There you go, girls. Don't complain anymore. And it probably isn't taken that way, but I felt like the women, like, you know, Raquel and Dakota Kai, were making it more of a big deal than the announcers or, hell, the stage was as well, too. I feel like, here's a trophy. Now get out of here because we have another match going.
Yeah. Then again, you know, we have to remember this is WWE. You know how they feel about females sometimes.
Yeah.
So we definitely
look at their main roster.
Yeah, exactly. So we got those vibes. But nonetheless, let's see where this gets them. Let's see if do you think after this we'll legitimately get them on the main roster?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't think they're ready. I think Dakota is, but I don't think Raquel is. And you're going to be hiding her a lot. I think you had a better shot with Shotzi and Ember. Ember's been on the main roster already. Shotzi can adapt real fast, and she'll get over in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll see them interject. Maybe we'll have, like we had a couple of years ago in New York, where you had a triple threat tag team and have them anyway. It could work. I wouldn't mind that, because then you could hide Raquel a little bit, and you could still go off with Shotzi and Ember with that entrance, and still have Nia and Shayna as like heels. So maybe that's wishful thinking. That's long-term planning too. So I know WWE is not good with that whatsoever, but that's my wishful thinking there.
Yeah, they're kind of sus with their long-term storytelling, but yeah, definitely. All the other three are Shotzi, Ember, Dakota, I feel they're ready. As far as for Raquel, she like you said, she's in the Rhea Ripley effect. She needs to find herself. Maybe the separation from Dakota, they need to pull the trigger. So, I don't know, but good match, though.
Let's get into the next match right here. Champion, North American champion, the King of the Way himself, Johnny Gargano, taking on Kushida. Kushida getting another opportunity for a championship title. Kushida has fought for the NXT title, has fought for the NXT UK title, and now fighting for the United States, North American title. I had high hopes of this match. I really did. You know, Gargano, such a stud, the king of NXT, in my opinion. Kushida, still trying to bank on that investment. What were your feelings going into this match?
I thought Kushida was going to go over. It was, I wouldn't say it was a weird match, but it was something that we saw coming, obviously, from the past weeks. But I really thought Kushida was going to go over. I thought it was his time. Like you said, he's had multiple shots. He's been there for, like, multiple years now, and you really haven't pulled the trigger. He's freaking... Well, he was hot. I mean, I would like to say he's still hot, but when he got that little heelish aspect in him, he was just white hot. And I think it was the moment to pull the trigger on Kushida, but they didn't, obviously. It sucks. Phenomenal match, though. Phenomenal match. I think these dudes got, like, what? Close to, like, at least half?
Oh, almost 25 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, and great back and forth. Great storytelling. Great strong style mix-up. Ground game. It was a phenomenal match. I have no complaints about the match. But the only thing that really tarnished me was the result. I don't know. I think it was time to pull the trigger on Kushida. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, this match was a classic as far as that Texas catch can mixed with, you know, Japanese strong style mixed with Lucha Libre.
Mm-hmm.
It was all there. Back and forth type of match, and the drama was there as well, too. Like, Johnny Gargano is just like AJ Styles, in my opinion. That dude could wrestle a broomstick and make it look great as well, too.
Yeah.
You know, that just makes me want to see Johnny Gargano versus AJ Styles to see what the fuck they come up with. But, man, did I want Kushida to at least get this championship, because in a way this takeover, in my opinion, this is just me. I felt like this was a way to tell us, okay, if we're not going to call up people, we're going to start extending stories. We're going to start extending people, maybe separating people, and see how they flourish by themselves. So I'm like, okay, like, if we have Gargano in this takeover for a hot minute, if we have Gargano here for let's say, for next or the foreseeable future, we can use a loss. We can take the loss. Mm-hmm. That's no problem whatsoever. I also feel that Kushida, he doesn't have a lot of years left but I would just say in WWE or in NXT, he doesn't have a lot of years for the fans to be invested in his performances. There's only so many times that you can make a character lose. There's only so many times that you can have someone get the short end of the stick before you stop caring about them. And I think that's the biggest struggle for me, because you lose again. You lose all your title shots. Why should I care about you? Why? Because you're intense? Why? Because your history shows that you were great in New Japan Wrestling? Cool. But, like, the way you're booked, I shouldn't give a fuck about you. And if you ever went to the main roster, we don't care about you either, because you're going to be stuck in a stereotypical role.
Mm-hmm. 37 doesn't have much time. I mean, 37 is still good. But, you know, it's not much time. I think he's good with the age, but I think the biggest detriment is, like you said, you're going to bring this character up, and you don't have a lot of time, contract-wise or whatever, if he's happy or he's not, for the fans to embrace what an actual Kushida is, or who's Kushida. Not a lot of people on the main that watch the main roster, like Raw, SmackDown, are very educated like that. No disrespect to anybody, but you have to get invested into these characters. What you're doing here in NXT, you have to do on the main roster. You have to make them grow, you have to make them lose, you have the fans to get invested in them, and it's going to be hard at this stage of the game. My thing is, I agree with you 1,000%. Johnny Gargano, face of NXT. It's hard to argue with that. It's very hard to argue with that. Do you feel that him with the North American strap is a detriment to the strap, and he's holding up talent?
Yes and no. I feel he would be holding up talent if, well, with the outcome today, I feel like you're holding up talent. Mm-hmm. Let's say if you were to lose it, I don't mind him being like I said, the Ric Flair of the North American title. Like, lose it, win it, lose it, win it. Does it devalue it a little bit? It would only devalue it if you have like weird people just carrying it. But like, if Gargano's main goal is to be, let's say, like the greatest North American champion ever, and his goal here is to always reclaim that title, kind of like how Jericho was with the IC title. He's a 9-time champion. He's proud of that. Then I could understand the losses. And if you are building someone else up, then it makes sense. If you lost Kushida but got it back, let's say, at the next pay-per-view or event, it's understandable, because, hey, you're giving somebody a chance to run with it, but your main goal is to be a chicken shit heel, or heel in a way, to get it back. Ooh, who's going to take it from him next? So I understand that. But that's not what you're doing anymore. You're not at that. You're just like, I feel like what they're trying to do is like do this whole wave thing just to have the seeds for Austin Theory to be a baby face from him.
That's what I was going to tell you. That was going to be my next question. Do you think he's holding on to it? Because obviously there's two people I say are candidates, either Dexter Lumis, but I can honestly see that it's going to be Austin Theory. But
yeah,
my biggest pet peeve is, you see, in all this little ruckus that you did with Leon Ruff, with this stupid swerve for Leon Ruff to win the strap, I mean, I guess congratulations to you, but I mean, it's not really due. I'll be the a-hole. You could have been wasting all this time, or using this time better, developing the storyline with Kushida, actually putting on phenomenal matches with Damian Priest, because Damian Priest said he still wanted to achieve more in NXT before getting called up to the main roster. So that's why that detrimental swerve of Leon Ruff pisses me off even more now. Because it could have been Kushida's time. If you wanted to take the strap off of Priest and put it on somebody, bro, you could have put... Imagine a triple threat. These three guys, Kushida, Gargano, Priest, for the strap. How phenomenal that would be.
Bro, not even that. You just throw, let's say, like Damian Priest out the window for a second. He's on Raw. You still have so much more in the background. Bronson Reed, Cameron Grimes, mm-hmm. Dexter Lumis. Well, yeah, I feel like... Dexter Lumis is getting called up, brother. I feel like he's weird enough for Vince to like on some boogeyman.
I already see it. The Fiend versus Dexter Lumis.
Yeah, man. Like that's or maybe he's like the Fiend's like bodyguard now. Like a silent mustache wielding butcher guy. There you go. That's it.
He takes care
of the talk.
He disposes the baddies.
Yeah, straight up. Like and it sucks because I feel like that has a shelf life, just like his character. I feel like it has a shelf life, and I understand he's not a spring chicken either, and this is his probably only shot to really make a name. But man, does that have a shelf life, and I don't know what he's gonna do once that shelf life is over. But like, I digress. There's so many challengers for that title. Keanu Reeves.
Wait,
I was like, yo, wait,
what's up, Johnny Silverhand? Like, what's up?
Yes, Kona Reeves could be there if you wanted that. I don't even know if Kona Reeves is still,
is he even still
with
NXT.
I don't think so.
You know what? Keep talking. I'm going to Google this.
Mansoor, whatever his name is.
Bro, that sucks because Mansoor was like legit the hottest thing, bro.
You're a better man than me. You pronounce his name 10 times better. I'm calling him Mansoor.
Wait, what's a Mansoor? Oh, I'm so done.
It's okay. Last podcast for No Surrender, I butchered Mahabali Shira like twice, so it's all right.
It happens, bro. You know, some of these names are hard to pronounce.
But, you know, that title is still prestigious, and I feel like you can still work with it. And I feel like if Gargano were to lose, you have Kushida as that phase four, even if it's temporary, you at least give him something to work with, even if it's for a month, to see if he has what it takes to cut, number one, cut promos, number two, to be a white hot babyface, number three, to make money for the WWE or NXT. That's the ultimate goal, right? Mm-hmm. The ultimate goal is to go out there, put it on the show, and make money for this, for Vince McMahon, essentially, and yourself. So if you can't do that, or you don't have the ability to do that, you're just gonna be let go. You're a waste of an investment. No offense, because we know where he's at right now, and where he's at right now is 10 times better. But look at Hideo Itami, Kenta. Nothing. They did nothing with him. They toward the end of his career. Yes, I understand he was riddled with injuries, but once he was back, Cruiserweight Championship spot, Battle Royal at WrestleMania spot. I remember that documentary as well too, with Kenta entering that WrestleMania, I think 31 Battle Royal, and then he gets eliminated. The first thing that Triple H says, he won in every way. He did it. I'm like, no, asshole, you jobbed him out to the Big Show for no goddamn reason.
Yeah, bro. I agree with you 1,000%. Do you think it's something just because they're Japanese?
No. Maybe. I don't know. I feel it's tough, man. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like there's two different ways of booking, man, when it comes to a lot of these stars. You know, you see how because you look at Shinsuke Nakamura in NXT. He was treated with the utmost respect, like a fucking god. Had spectacular matches from non-title to title matches, and he was just treated with so much poise and respect, and I just loved it. And you look at other people like Kento or like Kushida. I'm trying to think of another person. Zion Lee, you know, now she's like an assassin. The fuck? I just feel like, what the hell is going on?
I don't know, man. Like, first of all, Zion Lee did not need that gimmick. She could have been a phenomenal babyface. I don't know what goes on. I mean, we saw what happened. He got treated phenomenally on the main roster, but look where all the crap he ate, that he was unhappy. But now he's getting a push again. So I don't know. I mean, I think also the factor that he's a small guy could be playing into this.
Could be. Yeah. Could be. He's bigger than Kenta. So, like, I feel like there's steps there, but, like, there's only – even Kenta won a match or two. We're getting to the point now where it's like, well, you lost every foreseeable – or conceivable shot at any title that you had so far. So why should we take you seriously as a challenger at all? Like, you are at the level of a Kona Reeves at the moment in time. You deserve no shots at this moment because you lost clean.
Oh, Kona Reeves is still with NXT.
He's going to be the highest thing 2 years from now.
Dude, he is. He's only 29.
Look at that.
They're treating him like New Japan. Oh,
That's the Polynesian Express that we need right there.
Yeah, that dude is freaky. Have you seen him? Like, he just, like, the body structure is weird, bro.
Well, you know, he's like the Joe Doreen of NXT. I give him that right there.
I'm not even going to leave that alone. I'm not even kidding. Exactly. We're going to leave that alone.
All right, Gargano keeps the title. Let's get into the next match, because this is the match that everybody's really buzzing over. Everybody's going crazy over. It wasn't my match that night.
No.
I'm sorry. It was not. I know it's yours. What? I know you love this match a lot, but, bro, I don't give a fuck about this, because there's a lot of factors. It's the result. And no, I won't even say the result as well, too, because I feel like this... All right, I'll say it right now. These boys are being given everything, everything.
Agreed.
For no goddamn reason. Like, they earned some stripes in Impact Wrestling. I get it. But the only reason why they're getting this much burn is because Trey Miguel did not sign with them.
Of course.
And they're trying to feel like, ooh, we got the better of the Rascals, so we're going to push them. And I get it. They're talented. Well, at least one of them is. They're talented.
At least one of them is. I love it.
You know? But, like, I felt like the grizzled young veterans were leading that match.
Oh, hell yeah.
And they were putting on the shows as usual. And, you know, like, I get it. They're the new toy to play with. They're the new little fucking micro brawler that you can get now for $17.99. Good for you guys. But at the end of the day, if I look at an investment between a legitimate tag team like the grizzled young veterans going to town and really just showing tag team excellence, and then getting these guys, which you have like about 5 Ricochets on the main roster right now. These guys are gonna get lost in the shuffle. Even if you put them as a tag team, like leave them there or single them out, they're still gonna be jobbers on the main roster. You're giving these kids false expectations at the end of the day. That's just my opinion. Now, we can talk about the match. That's just my thoughts. We can talk about the match, though.
No, excuse me, I have to clear my throat. Yeah, they're getting the push because Trey Miguel did not sign, so they're trying to throw it in his face. Obviously, they're the new toys in town, but it's something that we've seen already, and it sucks because you have to, these kind of teams, you have to start them off slowly because high spots, they get tiring after a while. I mean, it works in AEW, I don't know what it is, but I mean, high spots, you know, they get tiring after a while. You get bored. Oh, it's the guy that just does a flip. Oh, it's the guy that flips all over the place. But the match was phenomenal, bro. I mean, I enjoyed the match because it did have it was kind of weird in a way. I'm weird. I get down like that. It was literally the old Lions, the grizzled young vets versus the new kids on the block. And I agree with you. The grizzled young vets were leading the match, but it was just too good. It was hard hitting. It was all over the place. Near fall after near fall. At moments when I thought were like, damn, bro, MSK went over. Boom, they kick out. I'm like, oh, God. That's why I enjoyed it as well. It was a thrill ride. It kept me on the edge of my seat. And who's this dude? Desmond? Is it Desmond?
Yeah, they have new names now.
Yeah, they have
Nash Carter and Wesley.
With Wesley, right? Yeah, with Nash Carter sounds like the illest porn star, bro. Like, for real. Like, Nash Carter.
Nash Carter.
That's the illest jobber name as well, bro. He ain't going nowhere.
You're just there with Tucker. You know, you and Tucker Knight, and then LA Knight. Everybody could be a Knight.
Nash Carter, LA Knight, Tucker Knight. Form a stable.
That's the stable we need. Party all night.
Exactly. It was a phenomenal match. That's why I enjoyed it and I loved it. But the result left a sour taste in my mouth. I agree with you 100%. They should have not gone over. They only went over to just throw dirt in Trey Miguel's face. I was going to say Joe Miguel. Trey Miguel's face. To rub it in his face, like, hey, you didn't sign with us. Look, this is what we would have gave you. Of course, it's bullshit, but long-term investment. You call these guys up to the main roster. Most likely, they're not going to get called to the main roster. But let's just say, hypothetically speaking, they go up to the main roster. They challenge for the titles. Who has the titles on the main roster right now?
someone that's been eating shit, both men that have been eating shit for a long time, Shelton Benjamin and your boy Cedric Alexander. Mm. Cedric Alexander has been eating shit for about four
years.
And
I heard he's in hot water right now, too. Sorry for cutting you off.
Look at that.
I heard that he disobeyed one of McMahon's, you know how McMahon is, you do it, damn it. I heard he disobeyed that. McMahon wanted him to do something, he didn't do it, so he's in hot waters now.
Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. You guys can't even have opinions anymore. Yet you want to go to the WWE.
Exactly.
Like, we're everything's like we're all part of a process. We're all in the bubble. No one's bigger than anybody. You're this part of the show, you're that part of the show. Don't get too over, because if you get too over, we're going to put you right back down. You know what that sounds like, brother? You know what that sounds exactly like? WCW. Yep.
Low key, they're the new WCW, and they're going through all the bad effects of the downhill of WCW. Look where they're at right now. So
yeah, trusting the old guard to take the reins instead of the newer guard. You know, you can look at that from the Elimination Chamber coming up as well too. All the older heads, they've been being criticized from outside of the WWE like spectrum. Like even people that don't cover wrestling have noticed. Like damn, like these guys are still in the main event. You have a Goldberg in the main event. You have a Randy Orton in the main event. Like for what? Jeff Hardy's still in the main event. For what? When you have such a vibrant roster waiting to just be plucked, you know, an Ali, you know, Ricochet, Aleister Black, Keith Lee, Riddle, I hate calling him that still, you know, there's so many people. If you want to even look outside of that, Shinsuke Nakamura, Bobby Roode are there, Cesaro, you know, there's so many fucking people out there that deserve a spot, Gulak deserve a fucking chance, yet we can't trust anybody because we're not sure if people are going to be watching our product if we give it to somebody else. That's how I feel about NXT right now. With this right here, this is like the only like new win that we got of the night. Other than that, like everything kind of felt like
safe.
We can't trust anybody to hold another title, because if they do, no one's gonna watch Wednesday.
I mean, nobody's already watching Wednesday, so
yeah,
it felt safe. Honestly, that was the theme of the pay-per-view. But if it felt very safe, the results sucked, because like you said, you want to trust and you want to bank. Bro, no better team to bank than freaking Grizzled Young Vets. These dudes has been putting on phenomenal work since NXT UK. This dude Gibson could talk his ass off on the mic, and you don't bank on them second year in a row that they're the freaking groomsmen, bro. Like, and you don't pull the trigger on them. Like, it sucks. Bro, that's what I'm telling you. Like, the discussion that we had off the podcast, these stars are not going to get called up to the main roster. Why do you think they got all these new additions? This is where they're at. This is their ceiling, NXT, and it sucks.
Yep, straight up. You know, and another caveat to that, we could move on to this match as well, too. Two caveats. One, this is how I know the Raw team went over. In 5 months from now, you're not going to hear anything about this Dusty Classic trophy that they won. MSK doesn't care about that. They're going to book them like they don't care about that. They're going to book them like you're not supposed to remember. Grizzly Young Veterans would use this part of their heel promos or behaviors. Yes, we're the 2021 Dusty Classics. Dusty would have been proud of us. Yada, yada, yada. You know, all this stuff they would have used just as fucking fodder just to keep on going and making them get as much heat as possible. They would have used this to the moon, baby. But, you know, you're not going to remember this. No one's going to remember this whatsoever.
I agree. He would have added that to his promo, Liverpool's number one son and the Dusty Club winner, bro. Like, it would have been phenomenal, but nope. MSK, like you said, they're probably going to make a bong out of it. They're going to throw some butt in there, or it's not even going to be remembered. So it sucks. Yeah. It sucks.
Don't care about it.
Phenomenal match. I love it. It's a tag team match. It's a tag team match, I know, but bro, I'm not going to lie. I have to throw it into, like, match of the year candidate for me. That's how much I enjoyed it. I can't. It's okay, a tag team.
If I take my personal feelings aside, I could. Like, I could. Like, I think they wrestled their ass off. It's just, I guess looking deeper into it, it just gets me a little bit more pissed off, because you want to see something come out of it. Something with soul come out of it. And the more I look at MSK, brother, the more I look at D-Generation Next Part 2, even to their attire, with all the X's. Like, I just look at, like, Triple H looks at them like, ooh, these are young, reckless guys. They like to get high. They like to have fun. I wonder if we could make a DX part two with these. Just throw some X's on their tire, call them MSK. We'll see what happens. Mm,
exactly. I
put that sentiment aside, but it's just weird. And it sucks because we already knew. Like, they were the triple question mark in the bracket, and everybody knew, oh, it's the Rascals, and they're going to win it. And it sucks. It sucks.
It's all right. Their celebration was better than the women's. Great. You got confetti and all that shit. Great. Good for them. Cool. Let's get to my
real
match
men
tonight
celebrate
over here.
With confetti.
My fucking match of the night was this match right here. Co-main event, should have been main event. I don't give a damn. This match, to me, exemplified what women's wrestling is. I felt like all women here were at the top of their game, even though the inclusion of Mercedes Martinez was a little off going into it. I fucking love this match. I feel like everybody earned their fucking pay on this match. Io Shirai defending her NXT Women's Championship against Toni Storm and Mercedes Martinez. I don't know why I love this match so much. I thought it had everything. Everything that you can possibly love about women's wrestling. Hell, I would have put this on my match of the year category, even though it's a triple threat. You know, looking at Toni Storm and her orthodox kind of wrestling style, hard hitting yet just like weird in a way, like technical but not that technical as well too. You're looking at Mercedes Martinez, who's such a veteran of the game, and I feel like this is where like the commentary team really strived. I think the commentary team, I think Beth Phoenix was really great in this match as well too, saying you know how she's traveled with Mercedes Martinez and the moveset and strong style and how aggressive she is as well too. And then of course the champion Io. You know, I keep on forgetting that Io wasn't champion all of 2020. It was like half of it. So she's still getting like her title, I guess defenses up little by little. I keep on forgetting. I think I don't know why I thought that she was a champion all year, but that's how it feels. But I feel like she's untouchable still. Io.
What do you mean she's been champion this whole time?
No, she's not for the whole year. Like, remember, like she got the championship. What? Not Great American Bash. It was what? In Your House, right?
No, I think. Wait, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No.
It was In Your House in a triple threat match with Charlotte and Rhea Ripley, mm-hmm. where she pinned Rhea for the title.
And what was that? That was 2020.
That was 2020 in the summer.
Okay, it felt longer.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it feels like EO's been carrying this company for a long time.
Yeah, you know,
and maybe it's because.
Sorry for cutting.
No, I think it's because what you're gonna say as well too. It's because she has been. It's because even without the title, she was carrying this company, having great matches.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. You said it perfectly.
So tell me how you feel about this match, brother, because I felt like you could downplay it a little bit. That's okay. To me, it just felt like it was running on all cylinders.
I don't watch women's wrestling, man. Like, let me
stop. Sound like our boy Jeremy.
Yeah, exactly. No, this match is cool. I enjoyed it. It was good. Second favorite match of the night. I just feel that maybe it's just me with the interjection of Toni Storm. I felt that maybe they don't trust Io Shirai with Mercedes Martinez. Because sometimes it happens. It's just not Mercedes Martinez. You know, there's some matches that you need to interject the third person. Because maybe the chemistry is not with the other two. Or maybe you just want to play it safe just in case. Add more elements to it. But match was phenomenal. I loved Beth Phoenix finally stepping up, being more vocal as opposed to just going silent on the mic 5 minutes later. Oh, wow! So that was pretty cool because this is a women's match, you know?
Bitch perfect.
This is a women's match. You have to represent for your women on the mic as well and push them and give them their spot because that's your job as well as a commentator. You have to sell them. So her dropping the knowledge, it was phenomenal. Toni Storm, I think, man, Toni Storm is a stud. She should be on the main roster already. I like it. She's weird, unorthodox. I did like that little diving elbow she did onto Io Shirai when she was on the third rope. Pretty freaking cool. The little botch with the table, you know? Table just collapsed in front of her because Tony's so hot.
But that's how much of a professional Toni Storm is. People forget that she's such a young person, but she has a wealth of knowledge wrestling everywhere in Europe and in Japan as well, too, at age 16 and up. So her, you know, just calling the audible with Mercedes Martinez when that table collapsed, okay, let's just spin into something different. Some people would have been dumbfounded or tried to do the spot over again. Yep. No, they changed it up on the fly, and they made it something brilliant right there, waiting for EO to do that fly spot, which I found fantastic.
Yeah, that fly spot, that was actually my dad's favorite moment of the match. He was sitting there, he was like, wow! You know, so he enjoyed it. It was pretty dope. EO, once again, flying all over the arena in NXT.
Yeah.
So the match was good. The match was great. The right person went over, obviously. I just feel like kind of how you felt with the tag match. I just could, because I really did want to see Mercedes Martinez and Io Shirai go to town. I think they would have been phenomenal. I mean, they went to town in the triple threat, but especially with the nonsense they try to feed Martinez, she was smart. She says, I'm not going to be part of Retribution. I'd rather go back down to NXT. This was kind of her moment. But, you know, you threw somebody else in the mix. I'm not mad, though. But those are my sentiments.
So. You make a great point with Mercedes Martinez. I feel like, in some ways, she almost doesn't even fit NXT in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just me. I feel like she still has a little bit of that indie rust or that indie feel to her. Like she belongs almost like an AEW or MLW, where, like, she's just, like, this hardened veteran. And... Mm-hmm. You're going against these young whippersnappers, and you're whipping their ass. I get it, but like, you feel like the old person in the ring. Not to say that she's old whatsoever. It's just how her presence is, how her demeanor is, how she carries herself. It's totally different from everybody else in that NXT roster, which is a good thing because it separates her. But at the same time, I can see whether it's Vince or H or whoever is calling the shots right now in NXT, I can see them saying, we need a pretty face. Let's put Tony in. Or we need another person to legitimize this match because maybe not everybody's on the Mercedes Martinez bandwagon. So let's put in someone who people are familiar with, which is Toni Storm.
Of course, that's what it is. And that's why I'm just kind of meh with that match because this was Mercedes Martinez's shine. This is her moment. I'll go as far to say after this... She's probably not going to get another title shot. I may be wrong, but I don't think she's going to get another title shot. I think anybody that... They'll interject her a little bit, but I think the person that's going to get a title shot, if they don't move up, is Toni Storm.
Yeah, she didn't get pinned in the match. I love that sequence at the end as well, too. I mean, I love the sequence with the last 5 minutes from, like, the Storm Zero or that Fisherman's Buster from Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
I love the sequence of the pin happening from the flying headbutt and then the moonsault right after in that pinning predicament to get the win. I thought it was executed flawlessly. Hell, it even looked like Mercedes did get hurt, even if she was working or not. It looked real, in my opinion. And that's what we love about professional wrestling is when you sell the realism. And I think this match was a very hard-hitting affair. But yeah, right person went over. Again, I share your sentiments. I don't think that they trust anybody with that title, or they just don't trust any big change to happen unless it's someone that they feel is going to turn the needle when it comes to ratings. Mm-hmm. I think that's where NXT is at right now. I think if we're looking at Taya Valkyrie entering the picture pretty soon, that's probably the only logical person that I could see them choosing to hold that title.
Yeah, because nobody right now I can see on in NXT being passed the torch. If you didn't pass, if Ripley is not the one with the torch, Dakota Kai is not the one with the torch, it maybe Raquel Gonzalez down the line, and maybe we could get fantasy matches between Raquel Gonzalez and Taya Valkyrie. I wouldn't be opposed to that. That would be phenomenal. But yeah, I think the safe bet, if they want to play it safe, is Taya Valkyrie.
Yeah. Main event time. Let's get into it. Last match of the night. I know we were feeling our own way about this because it feels like it's another NXT match that we've been seeing over the last couple of years. But I don't know what it was. Maybe I was just riding high off the women's match.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like there was big fight feels with this match for some reason. I don't know what it was. Maybe it's just the background noise with the which I love always. When they're in the background, you hear that little drum in the background for some reason. It's very faint. Finn Balor walking out. You know, you have Pete Dunne looking like $1 million, bro. Looking maybe a little too fit. I love it when he had a little chub. I love when he had a little chub on him, man. I love, like, little chubby Pete Dunne, but Hey, Pete Dunne coming out with Danny Burch on his side as well, too. And Oney Lorcan just cheering him on, saying, bring one. You're going to be just like us, champions. I love that hype up right there. I felt the big match feeling, man. Did you at all?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's Finn Balor and Pete Dunne. We have been seeing this match for some time now, but anytime, no matter as repetitive as it gets, whenever you see Pete Dunne go up against Finn Balor, pick five feels any day of the week, bro. So I did get that. Did the match disappoint, in my opinion? To me. I know everybody said it was a phenomenal match, and I'm not saying it to be different. I expected something different. I didn't get that bruiserweight feel. I mean, like you said, maybe it's just the fact that he doesn't have the chub, but I didn't get that hard-hitting, that bruiserweight feel. Finn Balor as well, I didn't get that, because, you know, Finn Balor's the dude that pushes the envelope a lot, and he hits hard, and I just think maybe I built it up too high in my head, and I didn't get that. So that's why, for me, it just kind of under-delivered a little bit.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. The only reason why I felt like it under-delivered to me are two reasons. One of them doesn't have to do anything with NXT. Like, honestly, after watching No Surrender and watching the Rich Swann versus Tommy Dreamer match, there's a similar angle where I'm not sure, like I said, on even another podcast, if it's a work or if it was just excellent selling from Tommy Dreamer or if it was actually real. But there's a part where he dislocates his pinky, doing a Death Valley Driver outside to Rich Swann. And the focus on the whole entire match is Swann stomping on the fingers. So in my head, I'm like, oh, I just saw this already.
Yep.
So I don't need to see it again. Like, you're doing nothing new, in my opinion. Even though I know this is Pete Dunne's forte, I'll break your fingers. Mm-hmm. But I already saw it. And then the second thing is that I know how Pete Dunne wrestles, and I know how Finn Balor wrestles, and I know how hard hitting they do get. But I feel like they cancel each other out because they could be essentially the same person with aggression. I feel like Pete Dunne's a lot more technical when it comes to the arm bars and submissions, and I feel like we got that. And I love the story that they were telling with the hands. I love the story they were telling with the jaw. You know, I'll break your jaw, I'll break your fingers. Mm-hmm. I love that last sequence. I thought it could have been harder. I could have been harder when he takes the mouthpiece out. You know, we live in COVID, but fuck it. Takes the mouthpiece out and just does a drop kick to the face. I wish it would have been something different besides a drop kick. I wish it would have been like, I don't know, something. Like, it's a running boot right to the fucking nozzle.
I agree.
And just like, because it would look more real. Mm-hmm. Drop kick makes me feel like it's wrestling. Like, you want it to look hard hitting. You want it to look like this is like personal. I didn't get that. I felt like this was more of a wrestling match than a personal grudge.
Maybe that's what it was. You actually kind of made me look at it different now. Maybe that's what it was. I wanted a personal grudge feel, because remember when they had the tag team match with Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor? Mm-hmm. That felt personal. Like, where is he? I'm hunting for him. Where's Pete Dunne? And then, hey, I'm going to go to my freaking mortal enemy, Kyle O'Reilly, and let's just team up. That's some personal shit right there that you got to suit to your enemy to team up with you. I didn't get that in that. Bro, thank you for saying that. That's what it probably was for me. I didn't get that. All right, bro, this is the cherry on top. This is the caveat to this rivalry. And let's go to town. It didn't feel personal.
Well, you want to know why? It's a placeholder match, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. That's what all it is. It's someone to give Finn something to fight until the next opponent comes. And we definitely are going to see what's going to happen at this match. But I don't think it was a bad match whatsoever. I just feel like they made it more than what it really was. They made it, the build-up was more of a personal grudge, but the match itself was just a wrestling match. A good wrestling match, but I feel like we could have saw this on NXT on Wednesdays.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. The match was good, don't get me wrong, but to me, it just didn't have that big flair, like, begrudging, we're going to go to town on each other. Because, like you said, these dudes, maybe the fact is that they cancel themselves out because they go hard, they go 100, yeah. And we get that same vibes from each other. Good match nonetheless. Balor went over, he still has the strap. With all the shenanigans going on, man, bro, like, I think the wrong match to do is Karrion Kross versus Escobar. I think that's the wrong rivalry right there. They're going down the wrong road.
I mean, there's a lot of things they're doing wrong right now in NXT, and You know what? We'll get into the antics after this match, because as much as I appreciate the outcome, it still doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. Okay, match ends. Birch, Lorcan come in, jump Finn. Everybody's jumping Finn.
Mm-hmm. Poor Finn.
Undisputed Era come out. Okay. In my mind's eye, muchacho, I understand that they've been beefing with these guys for a long time. So maybe the instinct is these guys are out there. We want to get a piece of them. Okay. If that's what you're going for, maybe. Okay. Why not? But you essentially have O'Reilly, Strong, and Adam Cole go for the save. Big baby face crowd reaction. You have O'Reilly pick up Finn and giving the illusion that he wants Finn to join the Undisputed Era, which almost looked like a fucking great visual. I was not buying it, but it felt like a great visual to end the show. And of course, as NXT loves to do, but this time feeling very forced, it loves to swerve you. Mm-hmm. And I already saw it in the background with like Adam Cole's facial reactions when he picked up Finn. And I was like, that's weird, but like, all right. So we get Adam Cole, they all do the Undisputed Era pose. Adam Cole does a super kick to Finn, lays him out. O'Reilly arguing with Adam Cole about why he's doing this, yada, yada, yada. Gets all mad, super kicks O'Reilly, leaves the ring, storms in there confused. Here's my fucking thought process. If they went in for the save to help Finn out to begin with, why are you being pissed off for picking Finn up in the first place? It makes no sense whatsoever. If you have this like grudge with Finn Balor still, and you're this leader of the Undisputed Era, then fuck it. Why are you coming out in the first place? Mm-hmm. Let this motherfucker get his licks.
Yep.
That's about it. And you just made it a little more convoluted. It's just like, I felt like it was forced just to get the Kyle O'Reilly turn happening.
It was forced. Sorry for that. It was forced to get the Kyle O'Reilly turn. It also was forced. Maybe this is just me deep diving into the mind's eye, muchacho. But it also is something that's been teased for a few weeks back. Just to counteract Bullet Club. That's all it is. That's all it is. It was just done to counteract. Last week when they did it on regular NXT, when they did it with Vengeance, everybody was salivating. Because after the first time they did it, I jumped on social media. Oh, we about to get Bullet Club. We about to... No, you're not. First of all, and that's all it was. And like you said, I agree with you. If you're the big bad leader and you have this rivalry with him, why go out there? Why save him? But it just makes me think about what you said. I'll be the troll to follow you around for a year and then just mess your ish up. Like, that's what it made me think about. Like, but, I mean, and I think you kind of saw this dissension already coming for a minute, you know, a few months back. So, are you happy that Undisputed Era possibly is broken up?
So my thought process on this is that they ain't going anywhere anytime soon.
Of course not.
So what I guess this is a way to make everybody go on their singles career, if you will, mm-hmm. and see how they thrive, which is not bad because now you get to open up different storylines with single players like O'Reilly taking on different people by himself, which I'm all for. You get to have Adam Cole and O'Reilly have feuds, which is cool. I love how ROH posted up a picture of O'Reilly versus Cole for the heavyweight strap as soon as that ended. That was a little shade from ROH, which they don't need to be saying shit these days, but why not? Am I a little torn about it? Because I feel it's forced, yeah. I feel like you had a time to pull the trigger and it would have felt natural. I feel like this was just kind of out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And not in the out of nowhere that we love. This is more the out of nowhere, like we feel desperate. With this, not knowing what you're going to do with Escobar or Cross, not knowing what you're doing with that cruiserweight strap, you know... Even if you look at NXT on the UK side, you have people like Trent Seven trying to challenge for the Cruiserweight title when he's like 250 years old. pounds.
You know? I feel like he's been around for that long.
I'm like, what the fuck y'all doing over there? You know, I just feel like there's a lot of desperate measures happening in NXT just to keep up with AEW. And
there is.
It sucks because you're just drowning talent. you're trying to do things just to spike ratings. Y'all making NXT like the main roster little by little, and y'all all turning into WCW circuit 1999 real fast, brother.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's why I told you, man. Probably some Mark is gonna wild out right now. I don't see WWE around for that long. I see a sell in the near future. And
where does this leave Roderick Strong, though? What does he get the short end of the stick, bro, out of all of this? Because you saw him. He was torn.
Bobby Fish does.
Well, we know that. That's why I didn't even ask you. We know that.
Daddy Fish is in the background just chilling.
He's chilling.
I'm not even walking down. Y'all do this.
Oh, he probably dreaded the breakup. Oh, here we go again.
Twirling his mustache. Well, I guess.
Oh, man. But where does this leave Roderick Strong, man? Like, honestly.
I'm a dad. I do dad promos again. my free ride is over.
Don't say that. Don't say that. Yeah, because man. They will see... You saying that actually legitimately scares me, because they will probably give this guy a dad role gimmick with dad jokes, bro. Some way they'll incorporate his kid, his wife. We know she's with NXT as well, and they'll just make him do the illest dad jokes, bro. Like,
he's not the Messiah of the backbreaker anymore. He's the Messiah of the nap maker.
He's the Messiah of the dad jokes.
Yeah, I put babies asleep like I put, I don't know, like I break backs, I don't know.
Oh, man, it sucks, but the way we got the breakup is just the result of the longevity and the shenanigans that's going on, because this breakup could have been done so much more phenomenal if done sooner, maybe, or if they didn't have the pressure from AEW, in my opinion.
Yep, definitely. I feel like this was not warranted whatsoever, but a little bit of bad creative has trickled down to NXT, and we're seeing it right now. Yep. It's not spontaneous anymore. It's just a spike of ratings. And I mean, AEW is no saint either. They do shit the same way on their side to try to spike up ratings. But I just feel like WWE is playing catch up. And they're playing catch up or defense in all the wrong ways. Like, they have a spectacular roster. They have everything in every way to succeed. But what they're doing is counterfighting. That's all they're doing. It's trying to throw jabs while mans are throwing hooks, and you're getting knocked down. At this point in time, you need to regroup and say, what the fuck do I do next? Like, maybe you shouldn't have done this. Maybe you should have went straight Cross. Maybe Cross should have came in, wrecked Finn, and you would have Cross as your champion. Because you know what this makes me feel, brother? Mm-hmm. Bro, this makes me feel like if Cross would have held that title, he would have been irrelevant 2 months later.
Yeah.
If this was the agenda that you were pushing with Finn or the Undisputed Era, then he's second fiddle to the top.
Yep. I agree. I see that now with all this going on. Yep. I think he definitely would have been second fiddle.
But I have hopes. I have hopes.
I mean, I'm always going to have high hopes for NXT, because that I mean, that's our show, you know? Like,
yeah.
And It just kind of sucks where how far from grace it's fallen. And I will always go back to, this is a quick tangent, I'll always go back to when NXT was doing phenomenal and people were like, so what's so good about NXT? Just watch it, sign up for it, you know, go on the network and you'll see why it's phenomenal. And then those people that stood away from it now got it on USA, so they're like, well, it wasn't that great. You know, it sucks. It sucks, but I always have
my old
friend,
Steve. Yeah, man. I don't know what they're gonna do.
And I apologize. AEW for me is not the alternative. So, because AEW, like you said, they're not doing the best either out there. They have their ways and their shenanigans, spiking up ratings. They're not really developing no single story. They're just doing tag team. So, but that's for another podcast.
Yeah, man. When I look at alternative, I look at Impact Wrestling, MLW. Mm-hmm. Hell, I wouldn't even call New Japan an alternative, because they're the king of the crop themselves as well, mm-hmm. too. But, like, you know, it pains me to look at NXT this way, because it's not like it's a bad show. It's just it could have been better. It's not like it was a bad takeover. It's just there's been millions of takeovers. Not millions, but there's been many takeovers that have been better. there's always been a concise direction with NXT. Yeah. And I feel like it's all over the place. Like, too many hands are in the cookie pot and they're pulling out different things to the point where there's going to be no cookies left. And what do you have? You're going to have a depleted roster because you're going to have frustrated people saying, bye, we don't need to deal with this shit. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm Karrion Kross, I got shot to the stars. Now that I got injured, what? I have to, like, claw back up again to show my worth. And maybe he needed it too. We don't know. But
he needed
the thing
it.
About it is that
this is actually a blessing.
You think so?
Yeah, it's a blessing for him. He needed it. Not saying that he needed it, because we know Karrion Kross has been paying his dues elsewhere. But this, like you said, perfect example. You said it 2 minutes ago. If Karrion Kross was champ, he would have just been second fiddle to all the stuff that's going on right now. So I think this,
yeah.
So as effed up as it sounds, this injury was a blessing in disguise for him. Because now legitimately he could fall back, all this stuff could clear out, and we can see where he could go on from here. And if he would have had the strap, we even said it, man. Keith Lee should have had that strap longer. He got it too fast. So it's some MSK status it would have been with him.
It's hard to see what the future of NXT is this year. I mean, you have a lot of separate entities now doing their own thing. You have the resurgence of Kyle O'Reilly as a white hot baby face, and I think that's going to be a great run for him. But once again, I just rest on my morals and I say this, brother. Like, I feel in my prunes. That's how I just feel about the situation right now. NXT sets up false expectations for everybody, because they ain't going to be as nearly as popular or nearly as over or nearly have as much fun as they're doing right now when they get called up, if they get ever called up to the main roster. I feel that it just gives temporary relief, saying that you feel important. So now you're being called up to Raw, SmackDown, almost like a cult in a way. That's how cults work, brother. That's how cults work. They build you up, they set you right back down, and they make you feel worthless. That way, when you get an opportunity, you feel like you deserve it now. Like, I went through all this struggle, now I deserve it. Bro, that's how cults fucking work, okay?
Oh, we're talking about religion? No, let me stop.
No. Oh, we're talking about James Mitchell?
No, but you know what? And I still stand by it's not NXT's fault and Triple H's fault. This is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to build these people up like the next big thing. It's just when they get to the main roster, it's very cult-like minded. And just to add another, just to finish the caveat, they're not going nowhere. All these new additions, these signings, that's what it's for. Just some, you know, throw a little bit of salt on it, bro. They're not going nowhere.
I don't know, man. When you call people like Damian Priest up, it's like, I feel like, okay, you capitalize on the Bad Bunny situation only.
That's it.
And that's it. We love Damian Priest. Yeah, hell yeah. But once this whole Bad Bunny phase goes out the door, he's just
another
the fun-loving Puerto Rican.
That's it, bro. He's either going to fall into the No Way Jose, or he's going to be a Baron Corbin for life.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Unfortunately, that's the story with WWE, and that's the story of NXT. Hopefully it changes some way, but god damn it, that is our podcast right there.
David. We apologize. We had an Independence Day tangent going on before the podcast.
Got you. Why don't you give the credentials? Give him a shot.
No. So yeah. Oh man, it always gets weird towards the end. But So where them shout outs, brother? Where them plugs at? That's what I'm waiting for. I'm on my Dave Chappelle. Do you have any more of those plugs?
Ooh. Got any more of those plugs? Wanna get high? Yeah. David.
David.
You won't get high? Too many deep cuts are there. Elite Wrestling Audio, you can find that everywhere, from Pandora to iHeartRadio, Bob Bean, Flick the Bean, Anchor. Forgive us, Anchor, for this tangent, right?
Oh, Anchor loves it. That's why we're
forget about the Johann Schmidt podcast.
Bro, I still want to bring that to life. Yo, Johann Schmidt After Hours with Baron G.
I'm gonna bring my man from Independence Day to mess up my vocal cords for an hour rambling with that voice. Life and time for smoke. Yeah, Elite Wrestling Audio on Facebook of the same name, on Twitter by EWA Podcast, and on Instagram by EWA Podcast as well too. And of course, you can find us everywhere. The Kimura Chronicles, you know, our boy Jay Rance did an excellent review not too long ago as well too for UFC 258. Usman taking on Burns, and just a straight in-depth look from his mind's eye, muchacho, of that event. So go check it out. That podcast is up everywhere, from Apple Podcasts to Google Podcasts to Anchor and Spotify as well too. So check that out. The Kimura Chronicles is on Facebook. I was doing so good until that. The Kimura Chronicles is on Facebook by that name. It's on Twitter by TKC_Podcast_, and of course TKC Podcast on Instagram. So like, subscribe, all that good stuff right there as well too. Pop Culture Fanatics is getting a relaunch in a way this week as well too. I'm trying to do a week to week kind of thing as we do over here with Elite Wrestling Audio and all of above as well too. But you can find that podcast as well too on all podcast platforms, including Pandora, iHeartRadio, and Apple Podcasts as well too. PCF Podcast on Twitter, PCF Podcast on Instagram, and Pop Culture Fanatics on Facebook. Brother, go for it.
Yeah, gotta wrap this up real quick. If you guys want to talk to me personally, hit me up on my Instagram and my Twitter, which is SunEater1A, SunEater, the number 1A altogether. And yes, I know Akajimi. Look at this, I fucked up his name. I know he's not in fucking 1A, bro. So stop coming at my neck, people. It's my shit. I'm a geeky. Yes, because that shit got me hyped. Yeah, hit me up there. Where else? I'm all over the place. That's it. Oh, Blackfish Gaming. Do you guys love video games?
That was a personal.
It is.
Personal vendetta, right?
Yeah, video games. Hit up Lag Switching. It's on Instagram, and our boy.
I can't apologize. Yeah.
David.
All right, yeah, Lag Switching. It just got even worse. All right, Lag Switching. Yeah, if you guys love video games talk, you know, hit us up on Lag Switching. We're out there having crazy fun like we're doing here. We jump on that. We talk about video games, news, and everything. Have a good time over there like we do here. Val jumps on that, and our boy Jake and some childhood friends. That podcast is on Spotify and Apple. So, yeah, that's where you can find me at. Yeah.
Val Cisco _ on Instagram. Lucha
Val Cisco. I hear you trying to keep it together.
I am. Well, to just do an Independence Day recap podcast just to get this out of my system. Yeah, that's it for us, man. Any last words?
Any last words? Call? Yeah, I was disappointed. I forgot to stress it all over the podcast. I was very disappointed with the arena for Vengeance, man. It was very bland. All they added was just the little ramp, the walk ramp that's elevated with the freaking ring. That was very bland as well. So yeah, that's my only little caveat.
Yeah. Yeah, NXT slowly becoming a disappointment. I hate that. They're going to be the new Ring of Honor. Oh, no, sir.
Not even Marty Scurll.
Get that Marty.
Get out, Marty.
Chicken leg.
What the...